I'd like to call to order the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. It's Wednesday, March 11th, 2015, 4:30 p.m. We are in the Community Center, Sierra Room, 851 East William Street, Carson City, Nevada. Note, the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization staff in writing at 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701, or comments at carsonareampo.com, or call Patrick Pittinger at 775-887-2355 as soon as possible. Requests are required prior to 12 p.m. on March 9th, 2015. For more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact Patrick Pittinger, Transportation Manager. Additionally, the agenda with all supporting materials posted on the CAMPO website at www.carsonareampo.com or is available upon request at 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada. We'll start off our agenda with item A, which is roll call and determination of quorum.
Chairperson Fiera.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Erb.
Here.
Member Mugkowski.
Here.
Member Kroll.
Here.
Member Kimbrough. Member McQuarrie.
Here.
Member Smolenski.
Here.
Member Rosenberg.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Item B, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the MPO may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the MPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there anybody here today that wanted to come forward during public comment? Please come forward, sir. And please state your name for the record.
Jim Shirk, for the record. I'm a citizen of Carson City, and I am a Board of Supervisors, Ward 4, although I am not here to speak for the board, only for myself. What I'd like to do is approach, and I'm approaching each and every committee and board that meets, and I'd like to have every board start their meetings at 5:30, which will allow citizens within the community to attend so they show wish to. I don't know if they will because if we move the meetings, but we have to grant the opportunity to citizens to come to meetings. We have meetings at 1 o'clock, 4:30 is this one, and it's inconvenient for the working citizen to attend a meeting. I think we need to open the doors and allow citizens the opportunity to attend, so I'm asking every board or committee to reconsider the times they convene and move it to a convenient 5:30 start. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Shirk. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to address the MPO? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number C for possible action, approval of the minutes. C1, which is none, no January 2015 meeting. Item D, agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. CAMPO may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and CAMPO may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Item E is disclosures. Any member of the MPO that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on which the agenda or business of the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Are there any disclosures? Okay. And then we'll go on to item F, which is public meeting items. F1, for possible action, to approve the proposed amendment to the CAMPO Federal Fiscal Years 2015 through 2018 Transportation Improvement Program, otherwise known as TIP. Daniel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This item should look familiar. We had it at the last meeting, although in draft form. We were in our 30-day public comment period at that time. We had since held a public meeting and did not receive any additional comments. So we're looking for final approval of the Transportation Improvement Program tonight, the amendment to it. And just to reiterate for everyone's benefit, we did add some new projects. Two were at the request of NDOT. And if you look at the table, those are the last two under the roadway improvements with the project number NDOT 012 and 013. And those are a Carson Street resurfacing, which is to take place from Fairview Drive south down to the Spooner Interchange there, or junction, and some drainage improvements on US 50 West. And then staff also added some projects, which are at the bottom of the public transit improvements. Just real quickly, those are a project to purchase a lift for the new fleet maintenance building that's being constructed, and radios for the Jack and Jack Assist fleet, as well as tablets, and those are used for our dispatch operations. And finally, there is one on here that wasn't the last round that we presented as a draft. We did add that last one, CC044, which is for sidewalk and ADA improvements near transit stops. And this will be using some funding, FTA funding that's available to us. It's a partial apportionment for federal year 15, I believe. And we have to have it in the TIP before we can actually proceed with putting that programming that project. So that's the only difference from what you'd seen the previous month. And I'll entertain any questions.
Daniel, on the last one, CC044, do you already have a list of transit stops that need improvements?
I'll take that one. We do have a list. Primarily, it is expected that we'll use this money to match other funds. That's where we get the biggest bang for our buck. So, for example, we have a now funded community development block grant project that's on routes 2A and 2B near Empire Elementary School. If at all possible, we'd like to match it up with that. We also have a couple of other proposed street improvements that if we can get that are on bus routes, that if we can get sidewalk improvements at the same time, we'd like to marry them up with that.
Are there any board members that have questions, staff? Okay. Can I get a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the proposed amendment to the CAMPO federal fiscal years 2015 through 2018 transportation improvement program, better
Second.
Known as TIP.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Is there anybody from the public? I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. All right, this will take us to item F2. This one's an information only on recent action by the state regarding safety projects and the needs and priorities of CAMPO members' agencies regarding transportation safety.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to provide some information on what has been going on at the state level and then discuss briefly what we as Carson City have submitted as our needs and priorities to the state, and then ask the other counties to indicate the same. So the last two State Transportation Board meetings in February and March have had extensive discussions about transportation safety issues in the state. And the department has done a wonderful job of making funds available to specifically fund transportation safety projects. As indicated in the document, the board at the February meeting selected a list of $10 million approximately of pedestrian safety projects in Washoe and Clark counties that will be funded with state funds, which is actually important because they're much easier to spend, frankly. They don't have as many federal strings attached to them. So that is certainly a benefit to the state that that those areas will be addressed even faster. And then asked for input from throughout the state. And indeed, we, Carson City, submitted a letter on February 26th indicating our desire to pursue funding sources for we listed three types of projects, complete streets projects like the downtown. As we know, the downtown project is coming, and the RTC will hear about that in a little while. But the project doesn't start and end with downtown. It's the corridors. So if we could get funding assistance, that would be greatly appreciated. The second priority was the was intersection lighting. And the third was further extension of the multi-use path along the freeway. And that did put together an additional list of approximately $5.3 million of projects, which were which were shared with the State Transportation Board on Monday. And I should mention that Chairman Fira was at the meeting in February, and Member Bonkowski was at the meeting this week, as I was there as well. The projects were primarily in Washington Clark counties. There were a couple of exceptions, the ones that were proposed and then eventually approved by the State Transportation Board. The state is really focusing on projects like the implementation of rectangular rapid flashing beacons, like the ones we have on Stewart Street, and other pedestrian improvements like refuge islands. There was one project in the Campo area, and that's at the intersection of Pike and US 50 in Dayton, which Chairman Fierro had brought up at the previous meeting. And I will mention that they did also raise the issue of Fortune Drive, which, of course, the proposed signal at Fortune Drive, which has been before this board before, and that Campo has supported in the past. The NDOT director did indicate that that NDOT would be permitting that signal to be implemented. It's not actually a cost to the department. It's a matter of meeting safety requirements, and I won't repeat all the great support that it had from Lyon County. So NDOT is now going to be working with the developer to permit that and allow that to be put in addition to that Pike improvement that I just mentioned. And previously, NDOT staff has been here about improvements in front of the Smith's grocery store. It doesn't include a signal, but it does include some important channelization and access management. So those were definitely positives for the Campo area. I was able to have further discussions with NDOT staff, both Assistant Director Sandra Rosenberg and Ken Mammons here from Safety Engineering, as well as some other safety staff. We did learn that they are focusing with state-owned roads. They are focusing on state-owned roads, which means that you're more likely to be funded if you have an issue on a state-owned road, which is good for US 50. And they did indicate that they would be working with other agencies as well, because while there may be more state money, there's also federal money that, while it does take longer to use, is very flexible in that it can be used pretty much anywhere. In fact, we've used it on Fairview Drive. We had that median on Fairview Drive by Lowe's was using federal safety money. And there's another project in design right now, which is the signal upgrades for the intersection of Carson and Winnie and Roop and Robinson. That'll also be accomplished with federal safety funds. So we have successfully used that in the past, and we plan to do it again. Having said that, I just want to make sure Douglas and Lyon County representatives have an opportunity to indicate that what you submitted as well for input to the state.
Speaking for Douglas County, I've drafted a similar letter, and it's in review right now with the Director of Public Works, and it'll be going to end up fairly soon. And it addresses projects that were identified in past road safety audits, basically, is the approach we're taking.
And I know for Lyon County, we're just thrilled that we finally have won the battle, you know, for the traffic signal. I know the majority of the citizens out there are excited about it. There may be a few that aren't excited about it, but that and just personally, I think the crosswalk is such a big issue, because I see it almost daily, people walking across there and almost getting hit, and I just don't want to see that happen. You know, we already had it happen, you know, once, and we've had some accidents out there, so I'm just glad that the Transportation Board finally listened to what we had to say, and I appreciate, Patrick, you working with our staff and our Public Works Director and getting all these projects up to NDOT. So thank you. So is there anybody that had any questions of staff on this item? Is there anybody from the public that had any public comment for this item? Okay, then I guess we'll move on. Thank you.
Can't encourage NDOT to speak up for themselves and take credit for
I try and
moving
stay
forward.
Quiet, come on. But, I do want to, you know, thank this commission and the staff for coordinating with us and working through our process. We are looking at even though there's a certain amount of money that the director and the governor set aside, you know, this year and potentially next year, we're sort of improving our process to keep that coordination continuous, and we're going to keep filling these lists as projects move out, keep this list going. We can't guarantee that commitment of funds each year, but we do want to keep a list going because safety is critically important to everything we do, and it's a consideration in all of our projects, and we want to continue the coordination and partnership. So that will be continuing. And we're working on, you know, the request from Carson City with those top three. While it may not be a good fit for this particular pot of money, we are working on how we can work with Campo and Carson City to feed some of those other needs through whatever means we have available to us.
All right. If there's nothing further, we'll move on. Item G, internal communications and administrative matters. G1, future agenda items. Is there anybody that would like to place an item on the future agenda? All right.
Just so you're aware, our staff only has a list of one at the moment, but we plan to bring to you a draft work program for our next fiscal year at the next meeting. And if I may, Dan just reminded me that I should introduce Dirk Goring, who is our new transportation planner. He just joined us a few weeks ago. Since our last meeting, and he actually comes to us from Douglas County Planning, where he was for the last about 8.5 years. So we're very, very happy to have him. Lots of good credentials. And, getting him up to speed as we speak.
Literally. All right. Well, we welcome you.
Jack him up.
Okay. We'll move to item H, which is board comments, and I'll start on my left. Okay. That was one.
I know I said I'd like to stay quiet. I'm talkative today. I wanted to make a comment. We have the Nevada Traffic Safety Summit coming up March 24th and 25th. Please register. Ken, did you bring more of these? Okay. I can pass this around. If you're not aware of it already, sign up. It's going to be a great two-day event focused on traffic safety, so right in line with what we're talking about. Pedestrians is one of the focus areas, but it goes bigger than that. It's to help us develop or update our strategic highway safety plan. That's going to be the 2016 to 2020 plan. So we look forward to participation and partnership. And I believe it's free for everyone. So please join us for as much or as little of that conference as you can. The full 2 days would be great to have your participation. The other item is that we are in May, we'll be beginning our county tour process, which is when we go visit each county and talk about our program for the year. Lee Bonner is a new staff for NDOT. We're very pleased to have him, and some of you may recognize him as a former Douglas County Commissioner. He will be heading up that county tour effort this year, so you may be hearing from him on scheduling those updates and those tours, so we're looking forward to that. That's all I have.
Is the Safety Summit free or open to the public or just boards and commissions?
Ken? It is open to the public. We do like people to register so we know how many people we need to accommodate for. And if you, I believe there should be a link on our website if you go to safety. ZeroFatalitiesNV.com. There should be a link to register for that, and you can see the agenda there. And when you register, it asks what events you're actually attending, so that helps us make sure we're accommodating for everyone who's interested. Thank you. Why don't you send it to Patrick, and he'll send it out? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're on item number I, which is public comment again. So if there's anybody from the public that would like to address Campo, come forward. Seeing none, move to item J, which is for possible action, adjournment. Do I have a motion? We are. Okay, then we are adjourned. The RTC meeting will start in 5 minutes.
I call to order the meeting of the Regional Transportation Commission. Today is March 11th, 2015. We're in the Community Center Sierra Room at 851 East William Street, Carson City. Can we please have a roll call?
Chairperson Bunkowski.
Here.
Vice Chair Smolenski.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Kimbrough. Commissioner McQuarrie.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Moving to item B on our agenda, which is public comment. If anybody in the public has anything that they would like to address the commission on, they may approach the podium. We cannot take action on any matter raised under this agenda item. Anybody from the public? Mr. Shirk.
I missed you. Jim Shirk, for the record. I'm here again to plead my case that meetings such as this should start at 5:30 to allow citizens to attend. Whether they do or not is entirely up to them, but we have to open the door. Just as you were going to have a public forum on the design stages of this project of the downtown Carson Street, and you will have that at various stages, and I'm sure you'll have one after 5:30 to allow citizens to attend. I would really hope this board, as other boards I've approached, would look and consider starting their meetings at 5:30 for citizens' ability to attend. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody else from the public that has any public comment? Seeing none, we will move on to item C, approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes from January 14th?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of January 14th, 2015.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Nay. Passes unanimously. Moving on to item D, agenda management. RTC may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. They may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on that agenda at any time. Are there any commission members that would like to make any changes to the agenda? Staff? Nope. Okay, so the agenda will be adopted as posted. Moving on to item E, disclosures. Any member of the commission that wishes to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business with the commission? Seeing none, we will move on to the public meeting items. F1, information regarding an update on the downtown Carson Street project and discussion regarding the RTC's role as a project oversight committee. Is this going to be you, Patrick?
Yes, I will lead it off. Before allowing others a chance to speak, I'm going to primarily cover what we provided in the board forum here. But basically, the Board of Supervisors has moved forward and has executed a contract with the design team led by Loomis and Associates, and we are now moving through the design process. This year is basically the year for design, and next year is the year for construction in very general terms. And it was decided some time ago that the two committees that would be hearing this information as we go through the design process would be the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee, the RAC, as an interested group, and also the RTC, also as an oversight body, which will provide recommendations to the Board of Supervisors and to hear information as we move forward. As is provided, we're before you today, but we also plan to be here basically every other month. As it turns out, odd-numbered months, we plan to be back before you with information on a future theming workshop and preliminary design, and then 30, 60, and 90% design review. The goal of these meetings with both RAC and the RTC, which will be held in the same months, is to provide a forum for public involvement, to allow folks to comment, for related matters, and also to provide recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, as I previously indicated. That's in a nutshell, very very high level review of what we're doing here. But I'm pleased to say that the project manager is the engineering services manager for the city, Danny Rotter. He is here, and He's managing this himself, and also the lead for the design team, Mike Bennett from Loomis & Associates, is here as well, and I will turn it over to them and let them provide some additional information.
Afternoon, Chairman and Commissioners. Danny Rotter, Public Works Engineering Manager, for the record. Happy to be the project manager on this project. We have 50-plus projects on the list, but this one I took up and said, this one's mine. So I know Mike, I'll tell you his tie to Carson City. My parents moved here when I was a couple weeks old and graduated from Carson High School, and I call this my hometown. So a couple things I wanted to point out before I just give you a brief update. We do have this room scheduled for June 22nd for a public meeting on the 30% design. And then the theming workshop that Patrick mentioned, we have this room booked for April 20th. Both Mondays, same times and format that we did in the September 2014, where we have a lunchtime where we thought we would get more workers coming to, but we ended up with more retirees kind of coming to. But then we have a night session as well that we'll be able to do that. We'll be utilizing electronic polling. One of the team members has that equipment, and we think it'll be a good addition to have some real live interaction with the public. Mike can talk a little bit more. They wrapped up the 3D scan and survey of Carson Street this Sunday, and so we will not be closing Carson Street anymore for surveying. So hopefully the business owners and property owners can be happy about that. And they did a great job, and I want to shout out to the streets operations crew. They did a real intensive traffic control job, as they were doing today downtown there. So I think with that, I'll say that we had our kickoff meeting recently. Everything's rolling, and we're looking forward to meeting with the property owners, business owners, public. Have a lot of people call me already, and I'll let Mike introduce himself to you all. And
quick question. Do you have the times set for those for the public meeting and then the theming workshop yet?
We don't yet. We just know there's going to be a midday and an evening. We'll definitely have a media release and everything once we get closer to the actual format.
Thank you, Danny. Good evening, board. Afternoon, I guess. Mike Bennett, for the record. I'm the principal of the Carson office of Loomis & Associates. This project is very near and dear to my heart. I am a born and bred Carson City resident, born and raised, I should say, Carson City resident. My folks moved here. My grandparents moved here back in the 50s. My dad was born here. So I have a lot of roots in the community, and kind of like Danny said, you know, we were fortunate enough to be selected for the team. But when this project came out, it was the same thing. This is mine. So couldn't be more thrilled. As for status where we are, what we've done so far has been the most visible part of the project, at least outside of the design, and that is we've been outside. We've started drilling on Carson Street. We've collected geotechnical samples to do that street section design. And as Danny said, we wrapped up our scanning last Sunday. And then prior to that, we also wrapped up scanning on 3rd Street as well as Curry Street. So we have all of that data in the can, if you will. We had good weather when we did it. We have collected good data. And it's just a matter of now compiling the base map, and we'll start chugging forward with the design and concepts. I think that's all I have.
Do you have any questions from the commission?
Mike, I've been asked this several times. Can you explain what this 3D mapping meant or did?
I can. So under a conventional map, if you will, we would send a survey crew out, and they would collect points that major changes in surface features. So in other words, like a crown of the road, lip of the gutter, top back curb. But the areas that are in between that, we're kind of interpolating what the surface is doing, what the topography of is doing. What the 3D scan allowed us to do is essentially collect data, collect that survey point, basically every square inch of Carson Street all along the length of the project. In addition to that topography data, it allowed us to collect color imagery too. So we have a real virtual three-dimensional downtown Carson Street, if you will, that is essentially a snapshot of what it looked like the last couple days we've been out there scanning. You can see paint marks in the road. You can see cracks in the asphalt. It is that detailed. And we're going to use that for the conceptual plans. You know, when the 3D fly-throughs come out, you're going to see that product in that. The design team is going to use that to be able to measure dimensions that maybe didn't make it into the overall base map. If there's features that, you know, an engineer wants to see, rather than taking time to go out to the site and take measurements, it's already in digital form that they can just go into their database and look at that. So it's a time saver as well.
How long would the conventional survey take?
Conventional survey would have probably taken us, just in the field to collect the data, would have probably been a couple of weeks worth of effort. I was telling Danny, you know, we'd have been lucky to collect 5,000 points in that conventional survey. The last couple of days of scanning, just on Carson Street, we collected north of a billion, and that's a billion with a B. So it's huge differences in resolution, if you will.
Did you have drones going up and down Carson Street?
No, we just had a little box that sits on top of a tripod that rolls and sprays laser beams out. It collects overhead power lines. It collects flagpoles, tops of buildings, birds, if there was a bird in the scan. We had a herd of deer run through in front of the Capitol. We had to shoo them along.
Additional commission comments? I have a couple. Will the 3D mapping be used to also map underground utilities?
Not to map the underground utilities. The underground utilities will end up in that base map. But we can't see it. What we'll end up doing is modeling and designing those underground utilities in three dimensions.
They'll be overlaid on the map, though?
Yes.
Okay. And then, Danny, do you know what staff will be present at the public meeting and the theming workshop? I know the last time we had public meetings, I got a lot of good feedback on the amount of staff that was there because utilities were there, fire was there, public works. Everybody was there so that members of the public can speak on a specific portion that might interest them. Will that happen with these meetings as well?
That's our hope, is to have a similar format where we would be in this room for a main presentation and maybe some electronic polling, and then we would have some stands out in the hallway for specific questions on traffic-related stuff, ADA stuff. I haven't talked specifically to the fire chief or the sheriff about their staff. That was more of an access type issue, which if we can have them, great. But that's the goal, is to match up what we had done before.
Thank you. If there's no more commission comments, is there anybody in the public that has any public comment on this item? Seeing none, this is an information item only. So we will move on to item F2. Thank you, gentlemen. For possible action to accept Public Works' recommendation to approve Amendment Number 4 to Contract Number 1011-126 with Swift Communications, Inc., titled Jack Bus Advertising Program, to exercise a one-year contract extension from January 1st, 2015 to December 31st, 2015.
Thank you. So the Jack Bus Advertising Program's program basically that generates revenue through the placement of advertisements on Jack buses and shelters, which is then used to cover a portion of the operating costs of the Jack transit system. In 2010, RTC entered into an agreement with Swift Communications, which runs the Nevada Appeal, to manage the program. The Nevada Appeal handles all the marketing, the sales of the ads, printing of the ads, placement of the ads. And basically, we just provide the physical space for the ads to go. Revenue is then split equally among RTC and Nevada Appeal. This program has generated about $2,500 per month in revenue that can be used to match federal funds to fund the Jack transit system. With this amendment, we're looking to exercise one of the remaining one-year extensions on the original contract. The expiration date from the previous amendment actually expired December 31st, 2014. This amendment would go into effect kind of retroactively. This would extend the program through the end of this calendar year and would leave us with two remaining one-year extensions on the original contract. Staff has been pleased with performance of the program and recommends renewing for another year.
If I may, just want to add, you know, the real bottom line is that we've enjoyed working with Nevada Appeal staff, and every dollar that we get from this is one less dollar that we need from the general fund. That has reduced our need for general fund transfers that we get on an annual basis. And our only complaint is that we wish all the advertising was sold just so we could have more of this.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you, Patrick. Any comments from the commissioners? I see none. The revenue figure of $30,000, that's half of the actual revenue? That's the portion of the revenue that actually is coming to RTC?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission for a motion.
I'll do it if you want. I move to accept Public Works recommendation to approve amendment number 4 to contract number 1011-126 with Swift Communications, Inc., titled Jack Bus Advertising Program, to exercise a one-year contract extension from January 1st, 2015 to December 31st, 2015.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nay. Passes unanimously. Moving on to item F3 for possible action to accept the work as completed and to accept the contract summary as presented and to approve the release of final payment in the amount of $9,855.99 for contract 1415-065 titled Nye Lane Pedestrian Improvements to VNC Construction, Inc.
Thank you. That pretty much sums it up. As far as what we're doing here, we're releasing less than $10,000 to a contractor for the Nye Lane project. This project was 100% funded with community development block grant funds that were intended for this fiscal year, so we've actually delivered that on time. It was very much appreciated because the previous year we had done the other side of the road on Nye. So these residents, this was the south side of the road, were very eager to have their side done because their side looked even worse after we did the north side. And I'm happy to report that this actually came in less than we had originally budgeted. As you can see, the project estimate was higher, and those additional funds, I won't try to explain it, but between all these different years of CDBG funds and various transit funds we have available, we're actually able to say, because we save money on this project, we're able to shift it to something else and get something more done, because we definitely want to use all the available funds. So while we were under, the funds will be used to build sidewalks somewhere else.
Any questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, is there any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, I'll bring it back to the board for a motion.
I move to accept the work as completed, to accept the contract summary as presented, and to approve the release of final payment in the amount of $9,855.99 for contract 1415-065 titled Nye Lane Pedestrian Improvements to VNC Construction, Inc.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Moving on to item F5, information regarding an update on the Carson City ADA transition plan. Did I miss something?
F4. ADSD.
All right. Sorry. For possible action to approve a grant application with the Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division in the amount of $65,000 for the period July 1st, 2015, to June 30th, 2016, and authorizing the RTC chairman to sign the application and associated certifications and assurances.
I'll take this one again. This is so the Aging and Disability Services Division is currently accepting applications for its competitive two-year grant cycle. Staff has prepared an application, which is due March 19th, requesting $65,000 per year in grant funds. In order to help fund the Senior Bus Pass program. This program provides seniors age 60 and over with free rides on Jack, unlimited on Jack bus, fixed route buses all year long. They can sign up for a free pass anytime during the from the start of the fiscal year on, and receive free transportation through the end of the fiscal year. We've been running this program for several years now with great success. We provide an average of over 70,000 free rides to seniors annually. So we're certainly doing great things for them, and they obviously are very, very appreciative of the program. The actual increase in the funding request this year is to help offset with the rising costs of providing transit service and obviously our expanded service hours. I've discussed this increase to the request on RTC's application in detail with the ADSD representative and who's responsible for overseeing the grant, and have been basically assured that this is not going to impact our potential for being approved for grant funds.
Thank you, Graham. Any questions of the commissioners?
Just a quick question. Since I hit that age requirement this year, and for maybe members of the public, you said you have to sign up.
Yes.
What is that process?
You just fill out a form at the senior center and submit it to them, and they'll pass it along to Jack's operations staff, and you're approved. There's no other requirement other than 60 or older.
Hot damn.
Any other questions? I did have a question on the front page of the applicant questionnaire. Item 4, it says, what percentage of the total cost of providing services would the ADSD requested amount represent? And it says 100%. My question is, this program is actually operated at a loss anyway. So we're not actually funding 100% of the program, right? We're funding 100% of the amount that we're subsidizing. Can you clarify that?
Or 100% of the amount that we're requesting. Because, right. Frankly, according to their own standards, what's the per trip eligibility?
$2.50.
Yes, we're actually eligible to receive up to, per the program, up to $2.50 per trip. So if you do the math, we're actually eligible to receive much more funding. But because they don't have that much to put around, we accept a lower amount. So the only thing we're funding 100% of is the amount of money we're asking for.
So it's a case of don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yes, and the fact is that even though it's less than we could get, this is still financially better for the transit fund, therefore the general fund, and obviously a benefit to the community.
Thank you. Yep.
Patrick, if you know, do they get free rides to 60 and over in Reno?
No.
Where else do they give? I mean, where else can you get a deal like this?
We're actually relatively unique in our use of these funds. These funds are typically used, and Graham, please add, because he sees more of this than I do these days, but I think they're typically used for more of paratransit services around the state. We specifically, because we're in a unique position in the state, we're not a rural transit provider. We are a small urban transit provider. We have the ability to do this that, frankly, doesn't exist otherwise in the state. This is not, there's not funding available to do it for as big a system as WASH or Clark, but it is big enough for us.
I think if you ask the mayor, he would probably say we're uniquely unique and not somewhat unique.
and aged.
Are there any further questions of the commissioners?
For the approval of the 60 or over, they need an ID?
Yes, they need an ID. That's all they need to present, yeah.
But we're doing in a partnership with the senior center because we know we have 3 bus routes that go there, and it's a place that many seniors frequent. In fact, when we have every year you have to re-sign up, we actually have a table set up during lunchtime and that's where we get a lot of people through at the same time.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Seeing none, is there any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, I'll bring it back to the commission for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve a grant application with the Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division in the amount of $65,000 for the period July 1, 2015 to June 30th, 2016, and authorizing the RTC chairman to sign the application and associated certifications and assurances.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a couple of seconds. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nay? I mean, opposed, say nay. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Now we can move on to F5. Information regarding an update on the Carson City ADA transition plan for transportation facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pleased to report that we've made some significant progress on this project. We do now have a draft transition plan for transportation facilities, and by that I mean basically the public rights of way, so sidewalks, bus stops. In fact, I'll just give a quick recap. So the consultant that we hired initially went out and inventoried about 30 miles of sidewalk and 26 signalized intersections, which is about half of the traffic signals in town, and about 40 transit stops. And so for the budget we had, that's actually, they did a tremendous amount of work, and you know, we were happy to have them inventory that. And I should back up even further. Before we even got to that point, we actually had a stakeholder meeting with those that represented you know, ADA groups to get their input on the areas of town that we would look. And while we were doing that, we tried to avoid areas where we have done recent improvements, you know, under the assumption that there's really nothing wrong, therefore nothing to fix, and also areas such as, you know, downtown Carson Street, which we know we're going to be putting some funding towards. So with that, as I said, they compiled all the detailed data, and they also reviewed our the city's municipal code and design standards. And then we had a meeting with various department and division staff, such as design, engineering, planning, risk management, our signals technicians, just to name a few. And so everyone internally has got to review this draft document and provide their comments. So they have since compiled those comments, and we are now basically getting ready to unveil this for, you know, general public comment. There will be a meeting here at the community center in the Bonanza Room on March 17th, so that's next Tuesday, St. Patrick's Day, easy day to remember, from 4 to 6, and they will, our consultant will provide a brief presentation about 5 o'clock to those in attendance. And from there, we hope to compile any public comments and basically finalize the plan. So. It is available to view on the website and include your packets, because it's like 700 pages long. So, but if you go on the Public Works portion of the city's website under transportation, you can find the draft plan and all the appendices there. So, and I would entertain any questions. Thanks.
Dan, could you give us an estimate of what percentage of the city's sidewalks, the 30 miles that was surveyed or inventoried, is?
That's a good question, and it's really not a big amount. I don't know an exact figure, but if I had to guess, I'd probably say it's somewhere in the ballpark of 15%, maybe. You know, the 30 miles includes both sides of the road, so and I'm going off of roadway miles, centerline miles, because there are, as you know, a lot of areas in the more rural parts of town that don't have sidewalks. So so that's a number that I can put together, though. I can certainly look in our GIS and calculate that. Should be easy enough to do.
You don't have to give us an exact figure. Where I was going with that is I just wanted the public to know that this is a step in the right direction. It's a good first step, but this is going to be an ongoing process for many years to come.
Correct. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was just going to add to that to say, the sidewalk that we did inventory, we're primarily arterial and collectors, so more of the major type of streets. We didn't really get into the local neighborhood streets yet.
Any additional questions of the commission?
So on the sidewalks, got 30 miles of it, and a lot of sidewalks around town, some are 5 foot, some are 4 foot. What is the design standard that we're going to build to? Is it going to be the stay with 5 foot, or is that going to change?
No, it's minimum 5 foot, so yeah. That's what we're sticking to.
I'll just add that there are a couple different standards out there. There's one used to be called, it was called ADAG, Americans with Disabilities Act Advisory Guidelines, and now there's a newer one called PROAG, the Public Rights of Way Accessibility Guidelines, and we are going to be following those national standards when we're applying those.
And they, without getting into the specific details, they did have a few suggestions for our design standards, very little, and our design staff was amenable to that. They kind of discussed through it, and so any, you know, updates to our own standards we didn't make, we'll certainly put those in place as well to meet the PROAG that Patrick mentioned.
Years ago, I don't know how many years it was there a consent decree issued by regarding ADA compliance issues?
When I got here in 2006, we were operating under a settlement agreement with the Department of Justice that had been reached before my tenure began here. And we have now met the requirements of that settlement agreement, and we've moved beyond that into, I don't know what standard mode is called, but not living under a Department of Justice settlement agreement. But we still have certain requirements to follow. For example, if you go and reconstruct a road, you need to, you know, make ADA progress on that road at the same time. So I'll give you an example. This water line project that's right outside this building is going to be continuing on. The next phase goes from right outside this building by Roop Street west to Phillips Street. And as part of that project, we are actually, as part of the water project, we're going to get some road improvements sufficient enough to trigger our need to make ADA improvements. So we have to figure out how to make those ADA improvements. And on many roads in the city, including Washington Street, that's not an easy road to hoe. So you have to carefully, and what we're figuring out is how to make an ADA route from one end to the other without having to do ADA on both sides of the street. Because on streets like Washington, it's much, much better if you can pick your battle as far as conserving money and being as efficient as you can. And we've actually met with the Federal Highway Administration to discuss our plans going forward on something like that. But it really takes that level of work when you're doing this.
Any additional questions?
On the sidewalks, so if the plan is probably to have 5 foot sidewalks wherever possible around the city, correct? If a developer comes in and they have to improve a property and the sidewalks is part of that, are they putting in 5 foot or 4 foot? Are they matching? Can you?
Well, we're going to do everything we can to meet PROAG. And per PROAG, it doesn't always have to be 5 foot. But if it is, if there is a necessity to be at 4 foot, and I can't claim I know all the technical details, but there are provisions to have wider, if it's a long enough stretch, a wider portion periodically to allow, you know, frankly, if you had two wheelchairs meet, if they could pass each other, and something wider to accommodate. So there really is a lot of customization that is required. So we have guidelines to follow, and you have to apply them to each situation as appropriate.
Any additional questions? I see none. Is there any public comment on this item? I see no public comment, and this is an information item only, requiring no action. So we will move on to internal communications and administrative matters. Item G1, Street Operations Report.
Okay. I'm going to cover that one. I actually have a couple things to say. I'll just point out that, you know, we all know what the winter has been like, or lack of winter has been like around here. So you can see that this report's for January. Crack seal operations are going on. We do use RTC and streets funds to do street improvements that are not necessarily, the big glamorous capital projects, but we are carrying out operations like filling in cracks that we do get calls about, or like on the bottom of the first page, we do have our own concrete crew that is doing a little bit of sidewalk work around town. Because we used to have signs on here, but I want to mention that our signs crew is also very busy. I'll just give you an example. Yesterday morning, superintendent of the school district was out at the Gleason building on Musser Street. Unfortunately, the school district experienced a failure at one of their buildings, and they've been forced to move some students over to the Gleason building, where there is not usually school, and the children that we're talking about are very sensitive, younger special ed students, and they called yesterday and said, could you make that a school zone again, for the next month or so. And those signs are already up. So our guys are really out there being responsive. And I guess, I don't know if it's supposed to be on this one or it'll be on next month's. Another example, NV Recycling, which is out at the end of Astro Drive on far east side of town. They called and were concerned with the road, and we're still working on a longer-term fix, but our guys went out there and cut out large portions of what's left of the old road and actually filled in with grindings, and we were happy to be able to get out there and make it much safer, at least in the interim condition, before we figure out what the permanent solution is. And if you don't mind, I'll move on to G2. If you have any questions?
Did any commissioners have questions? Yes.
Patrick, could you explain 990 blocks and what you think that might cover as far as streets around town?
Yeah, the limits of my ability. I frankly don't know how many blocks that covered, because I'll cop out and say that it depends on the road, as I'm sure you're aware. We're out there filling in cracks, but the roads vary tremendously. We have some that require very little rubber, and basically these are blocks of rubber that are melted down and then put into the cracks on the road. So I'd have to ask a follow-up question of exactly where they were and how far they got, but the rate of consumption very much varies based on the roads you're working on.
From the looks of the road in front of my house, I think all 990 blocks were used there.
You don't say. Okay.
I do have one other question too,
yes.
Patrick. On page one under tree removal, it shows seven trees removed. Do you know if all those were in Mills Park, or were just two of those in Mills Park and others were in other areas?
I don't believe they were all in Mills Park, but I'd have to get confirmation of the exact locations. I don't believe there are that many in Mills Park.
Okay. It might have just been two in Mills Park, but if you could get that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Yep. If there are no more questions on this item, we will move on to item G2, project status report.
Okay. I don't know if they hit all of these, but as I mentioned previously, there's a water line project that's going on right outside here. There was a recent article in the paper, but just to remind folks, the water line is moving through the area here by the community center and aquatic center, and it will be impacting traffic on Roop Street. We're making every effort to not close Roop Street, to do it by just reducing lanes, but keeping it open to two-way traffic. When we do get just to the other side of Roop Street, the short one-way section of Washington Street will definitely be impacted, which will impact access to the library just from the east. But indeed, they've made it through the park, and they're working right outside this building at Roop and Washington right now. The East 5th Street pedestrian improvements, this will be the last time you see that because they just finished work. I'm happy to report that that not only did they complete the work that they were requested to do, we were actually able to accomplish something that was immediately adjacent to it. We stretched a little bit because of the availability of funds. The intersection of Elaine and Jerry was in a really rough shape, and we were able to really clean that up. So we're happy to do that. And through the moving around of funds, that was actually directly related to the fact that the Nye Lane project came in well. Let's see. The William Street path improvements, I believe, are 90% designed. So we're getting real close on that one. Western Nevada College sidewalk improvements are out to bid. I can't remember when that closes, but we expect to, at our next RTC meeting, to be back here with a contract award for the WNC sidewalk project. Long Street sidewalk project, we expect to, I talked to the project manager earlier today, and he's fighting to get it done by June, and we'll see if he does. But looking forward to doing that. That's right near the fish facility going to the east. Once again, it's one side of the road. We only have enough to do one side, but we'll be happy to do that. The Robinson Street, pavement improvements, that one we are reconsidering given the pending downtown project and the potential major development adjacent to that. So but we also realize that it is in really bad shape. So right now we're trying to determine exactly what Band-Aid we're going to put on it to improve the safety of it, but to not have any substantial throwaway costs. We want to make sure that we're balancing the safety aspect and the need to be conservative with the funding that we spend there. Yes, sir.
On that issue on the Robinson Street, early this morning there was work going on right outside the Nugget on Robinson Street. Do we know what that was?
Did it look like our rubber crack filling crew?
You know what? It was dark.
Oh, no. I know what that one was. That was part of it. That is actually, Rob, Member McQuarrie, are you aware of that one?
The manhole repair?
Yes.
That's what it was?
Yes. I mean, would you mind?
Yeah, sewer manhole repair. Yeah.
Yes.
The manhole ring and cover for the sewer system there had deteriorated, and there was a big hole there. So now it's been repaired, so there's no more hole.
Yes. So while it was a manhole issue, it was definitely contributing to the overall poor quality of the road by having a big hole associated. So that's part of what we're looking at. We do have a later project in here is our slurry program. That'll be coming back. There'll be some slurry and micropave coming back to finish what we didn't finish last fall. And we're looking at when that contractor comes back to be able to pick up part of Robinson Street here as well, to just add that to the project as a relatively low cost to get us through the upcoming projects. Oh, anything else on that one before I finish up?
Go ahead.
No, I actually, all I was going to actually mention was the slurry program, and I already just took care of that, so I'm done.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? I see none. Is there any public comment on this item? I see no public comment. So we will move on to item H, commission comments, status reports, and comments from the members of the RTC. Oh, sorry. Missed another one. Item G3, future agenda items. Patrick?
The one I just mentioned, the award of the WNC sidewalk project. We should have the closeout for the East 5th Street project, which I mentioned is actually wrapped up now. And I know I said this last month, we are waiting the agreement with NDOT to move forward on the design of the multi-use path extension along the freeway. Dan, do you have any? Do you think we'll have it by next month? Not that it's Dan's job. But
I don't think we'll have it probably by next month. But no. We are working. We did have a kickoff meeting with NDOT, and so we're going through basically a checklist to get toward the agreement process. So.
Cumbersome, but well worth it in the end.
Thank you, Patrick. Any agenda items, future agenda items from the commissioners?
Just one quick one. Dan, you're having a workshop on St. Patty's Day for the ADA transition plan. Is that going to be too early to maybe get some info as to what the comments or public comment was prior to the plan coming to us?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I envision, you know, once we do have a finalized document, bringing that back. And certainly we will share any comments that we received regarding that. So.
Thank you. There are no more commission comments or future agenda items. I'll move on to commission comments. Item H, any reports from the commissioners? I see none. All right, we are up for final public comment. Any members of the public wish to come comment? I see none. So we'll move on to item J for possible adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you. We are adjourned.